Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast, episode 62. I think we're at now, and let's timestamp this: the 11th of July. We didn't have an episode last week because it was 4th of July celebrations over in America. So catch up with Ben about all of that, but plenty of live streamer and content news to cover today. We've got updates across all the different platforms, some new features being rolled out, some new features being tested on some of the social platforms as well as the streaming platforms. And then, of course, the big juicy topic that we'll be covering towards the end of the pod, like we normally do, is these new streamers, or not new, big streamers that have now signed with YouTube, left Twitch. We've got more of them. I don't think either of us guessed the correct ones, but we'd certainly going to be talking in detail why so many big streamers are taking these exclusivity deals with YouTube and leaving Twitch, even though Twitch has, you know, had quite a few good updates recently. But we'll get to that when we get to it. First, I want to introduce my co-host, as always. Ben, how was your 4th of July celebrations? You like being independent from the United Kingdom?
Yes, we're finally free of your oppression, Pete, over here in the good old US of America. No, I'm happy to be back, man. After our week off here, lots of good celebration. Hopefully, if you guys were in the US, you had a good week as well. And excited to get into the news that we have here, Pete. Quite a good amount of stuff, especially on Twitch and YouTube, as always, especially with the title of the stream today. So yeah, we have a lot to talk about on the streamer front this week.
I see a lot of people tuning in from the UK, noticing the beads of sweat already building up on my forehead. The UK is not built for hot weather, and we have maybe 1 or 2 weeks a year where it's hot enough to warrant air conditioning, but none of the UK, like nobody in their home has air conditioning. Like big shops and things like that all have air conditioning, but it's one of those days, and it's going to be one of those weeks. I think it's going to be like 38 degrees Celsius at the weekend. So excuse people watching the live stream, excuse the rather sweaty, reflective skin that I have tonight. I have a quiet fan on that hopefully isn't picking up too much noise, but as I'm sure a lot of people tuning in from the UK will agree, it is hot. It's going to be a hot week. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Let's dive straight into the news. As per usual, we usually build our way up to the bigger platforms just to give people a chance to get in here. But maybe we start with Twitter. Twitter announced a new feature coming, or before that even, maybe we talk about the Elon Musk situation, because we did cover that on the podcast that he was buying it. It all seemed to be set in stone that it was definitely going to happen. Now it seems like it's not going to happen. What have you heard about that, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think over the weekend, they officially pulled out of the deal and still going to have to pay a ton, like $1 billion plus in fees, it sounds like. I think it's still developing, but we had to cover it because we talked about it on the podcast, and now that's all kind of out the window. But I mean, even over the last month, the effects of that on Twitter have been pretty big. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe you feel excited or not about that based on that, because I know that a lot of people were saying it might be the end of Twitter, and then other people thought it was great. So now we're just back to where we were, I guess.
My only hope with that, I guess, is that some of the things that he said he was going to do are high up on Twitter's radar now, you know, open source the algorithm so people can see that they're, you know, not being pushed a certain agenda, prevent all the bots. That's the big one, isn't it? But anyway, if it doesn't go through, or if it does go through, either way, it doesn't really, I don't think, affect us in the meantime. Anyway, they have announced a new feature. I've never even seen this Twitter account before, Twitter Creates. Is this where they always tweet about their new features? But anyway, let's bring up the screen share to actually show this. New feature called Co-Tweets. And this is one that actually I can see us using, Ben, like us as in me and you. Effectively, to describe the feature for those that haven't seen it, it is a way to be able to tweet with somebody else. So when you co-tweet with somebody and they accept the invitation, that tweet will be shown from both profiles sort of together. So both avatars and names will be in the tweet header, kind of like Instagram when you do like a sponsored thing and it says, you know, TSM in partnership with Lenovo. It'll be similar to that. So it'll be Gaming Careers and Benjamin Green. And it'll be a co-written tweet that both of us have approved to send out. That's the feature in a nutshell. I didn't even think of this as something that people wanted, but I can see some use cases as to why this would be useful. There is a tweet, a video that we're sort of showing on screen right now, and they also have a huge blog post basically going over what Co-Tweet is, how does it work, how do you, you know, add somebody to it, can you add more than one person? No, you can't, it's just one person. So I'll definitely link that down in the show notes once the live stream is finished for people listening and watching the VOD after the fact. But what do you think on first glance, Ben?
Yeah, I think this is kind of cool. I mean, Pete, we even talked about, I actually tried to go see if we could do this for this show to announce it, but we don't have access to it yet. I'm in the US, but it's select accounts in the US, Canada, and Korea. So I think I've seen maybe two co-tweets since this got announced on July 7th. I think there's some use for it, honestly, especially if you are doing kind of an announcement of some sort with somebody else, or you're a brand that's working with another brand. It seems kind of cool to have a way, because you used to have that sometimes, like you're trying to decide who's going to have the main tweet and who retweets the other person. And so this way you actually share that tweet, which is kind of cool. It makes it more of a joint effort. So I like it personally. I just hope it rolls out to more people kind of quickly, because I haven't really seen it used that much yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's standard for these big companies to roll things out slowly, isn't it? US always first, UK not even in the first three countries according to the US. So, you know, Independence Day was clearly well celebrated out there. But yeah, I can see it being useful. I can see it, like, especially when you do something in partnership, exactly like these announcements of live stream partnerships where, you know, big streamers are going over to YouTube. They could co-tweet it. So you get the mix of both audiences, the streamer's audience and the platforms. And we've seen how much collaboration matters in the world of content creation. You can really utilize combining two different audiences to get your name out there. So yeah, I like it. I want to see more tweets about it. I've seen some people complaining already that you don't have, like, the tweet goes out even before the second person approves. Whereas I thought the intention would be that the person has to approve or reject. And if it was approved, then the tweet would go out simultaneously, rather than like to the writer's Twitter first and then eventually to the other guy's or girl's Twitter once it's been approved. So maybe some bugs to be worked out, but that's exactly why they're rolling out slowly. Anything else to say on the Twitter co-tweets, Ben, or you want to introduce the next one, which is a platform we don't cover very often on this podcast?
Yeah, you know, we're trying to show love for all the platforms out there, Pete, even though we talk mostly about Twitch and YouTube these days. Trovo, if you've never heard of it, is a live streaming platform. I think it's primarily popular overseas, in Asia especially. And it looks very much like Twitch, like a very clear inspiration, we'll say, from Twitch, just green. But they announced Spaces on their platform, which to my eye looks very much like Discord essentially being built into Trovo. So when a streamer is offline, you could go essentially on their page and go into some text channels, basically just like a Discord, and be able to talk to other people there. So it's kind of a cool idea, actually. I don't know anyone who streams on Trovo personally, Pete, but we do try to cover this because it's just one of the other platforms out there. I think it is technically the fourth largest, probably, for gaming behind Facebook and Twitch and YouTube. So we should probably do some coverage, but I don't know, Pete, you have any thoughts looking at this initially?
Yeah, so the initial video didn't really describe too much about the future plans for it. Like you said, they're certainly not afraid of copying what they think is a good layout, good design. Trovo as a platform looks awfully like Twitch, which is no bad thing. Like, a lot of people really like the layout of Twitch and that sort of flat, dark design. But yeah, this Discord integration, I actually thought on first viewing that it was a direct integration that they built with Discord, but no, they've just basically copied what Discord looks like and then they're building that into their Trovo Spaces. In the blog post, they expand a bit more on about it and say that there's going to be way more coming in the future. And it's going to be a place for, you know, videos on demand to live as well. So they want to maybe sort of build a bit more YouTube functionality into it, so it's not just a live platform. I mean, I think it's quite exciting. Like you said, we don't cover it very often, but here's a good screenshot, actually. I should have pulled this one up. You can see how similar that is to Discord. It just looks like it's direct Discord integration.
They've got the same thread icon and everything for each channel. I mean, yeah, it's pretty clear.
even the header where you like put the header image, it just looks directly the same. So, I mean, hats off to them. They're certainly not being subtle about it. But I can see it being used. You know, I don't personally know many streamers that are streaming on Trovo, but I know a lot of the big esport events are sort of streamed to Twitch, Trovo, and YouTube simultaneously. So maybe if it starts to pick up more of a user base, like you said, in the English-speaking countries, we'll see it more, but it's certainly being used in different parts of the world. And additional features like these are always going to make it more popular. I wonder if Twitch has thought about this or if they've seen it now, thinking about building their own Discord competitor. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I'd have to see how it gets used, but certainly a lot of streamers use a Discord to, you know, announce things and let their subscribers and general followers hang out. So it kind of makes sense to build it into the platform if you have the capability to do that. And they're clearly just trying to find ways to differentiate themselves from Twitch. So maybe Trovo is going to become the all-in-one. It's going to be Discord, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter, and Instagram, and OnlyFans, all built into one platform. Who knows? Maybe. But we wanted to cover it because we want to cover all the different platforms. And, you know, I always like to see a random comment about on this podcast of somebody being like, thank God you covered Facebook gaming updates, which transitions us nicely into the next update. Let's go straight into the Facebook monthly product update. We cover this every month, and it's really great that they do it because it's a nice, easy way for us to be able to see what they're working on. And it seems like the main things are a new user experience or user interface update, Ben.
Yeah, I think so. They have kind of two features on here. If you look at the two sections on the blog post, one is things that they've actually released, and the second is things that we're working on, which is kind of cool. I want to say we don't really get that as much from Twitch or YouTube, just things that they want to develop in a blog post like this. So kind of cool. In terms of actual things they've made, they're removing premieres from the platform. I think much like Twitch and YouTube, you know, Twitch removed reruns recently, which has a kind of similar feel to it. And YouTube has premieres, but I don't know how popular those really are on YouTube relative to regular or live content. So it seems like there's a trend in not liking premieres for most of the platforms. And then they're also rolling out the new page experience, which I think we touched on a while back, Pete, which is sort of like the all-in-one profile for your stream, maybe kind of similar to Spaces almost on Trovo, where you can kind of see more info. So I guess they're focusing a lot on the account hub type thing on Facebook, which is cool to see. But then to your point, they are working on, I think of what they mentioned, the big one is trying to have more distinction between VODs and videos versus live streams, which reminds me a lot of YouTube, right? We talked about how they're adding new ways to see live count on the platform with the different tags and different circles on mobile. So I think they kind of see the same thing on Facebook, where they're trying to help live streams stand out a little bit more. So I think that's really cool if you're on Facebook and you do live stream a lot to get more discovery out there.
It's a shame that they haven't included any screenshots here. Maybe it's too early on in the feature development, but I would like to see what these new layouts would look like, and then we could maybe offer our own feedback on what we think of it. But yeah, it seems like all platforms are pushing ahead. I like seeing every platform, even the smaller ones, pushing ahead with new features because they're clearly seeing the return on investment with developing these features. So good to hear that Facebook is adding good features and depreciating ones that nobody was using. The last thing to cover just quickly was the Android clip trimming. So I think previously it was released on desktop and iOS, and now it's also available on Android. So you can now trim your clips and then turn them into reels, which is what Facebook and Instagram call their vertical video format. On to Twitch, I guess. Normally we would probably cover YouTube before Twitch, but the big news is YouTube related this week. Twitch has had quite a few little updates, the first one being an increase in the number of tags. So they do this show every week called Patch Notes. I can let these things play whilst muted, where they kind of cover what they've been working on. Usually we kind of cover it before this because we get wind of it through various different Twitter accounts like Zach's. But this time, this has come out new for us, which is, yeah, doubling the number of tags. I think a lot of people wanted to have more tags and also wanted the ability to make their own tags, not necessarily use Twitch's massive library of tags. And they've kind of added that as well, Ben, from what I can see. You've pulled up a screenshot here, which I must apologize, is super low res.
It's pretty bad.
I don't know. Yeah. Did you capture this yourself, or has you found this on Twitter?
So yeah, for context, this was weird because they usually will put out like an official tweet or a blog post for new features. This was literally just a VOD from a live stream that they tweeted out in a thread. So that screenshot is from one of the videos that they showed. That's all I could find. But yeah, basically in a nutshell for tags, they're doubling the amount you can use up to 10 from 5, and you can add custom tags, which are both really cool. But I think the biggest thing that's cool about this is now they're going to show in the search bar too. So you could add your own custom tag, and then when people search on Twitch, they could find you that way, which is discoverability. Now, I don't know how many people are using search on Twitch that much because it's been really bad in the past. So it may not actually make that much of a difference, but technically it is a discoverability boost. So I for sure would use this for, like, for example, using certain characters in games or something that I want to tag myself with. or just getting very specific about what's in your category. Like, I've searched for those things on Twitch before. So if I could actually use those to find certain types of content, it could be pretty cool. So I'm excited for this one personally.
There's got to be some steps in place to make sure this doesn't get abused, you know, being able to write your own tags. You'd presume that Twitch has like a central database now of words that they don't allow in chat, and they're probably using that same one to make sure you don't use them for tags. But custom tags is something that people have wanted for a long time. Now people can stop harassing Twitch to add their certain version of a tag that they want to see the whole time. They can just type it in themselves, and if they have the audience that's also searching for it, then hopefully they get discovered. I mean, it's one thing Twitch saying that you can search to find somebody via a tag. It's another if it actually works, because sometimes I type in a Twitch channel's username and it doesn't even show it because I've you know, missed an underscore or something. So the search system in general could do with a pretty hefty upgrade. But from a developer's point of view, I know that's a pretty tricky thing to manage. So that's tags. They also have announced a new feature, which is slowly rolling out, called a guest star experience. I think it's just maybe called Twitch guest star, but they sort of tweeted to show a short video of what that looks like, which I can play. And do you want to describe exactly what this is, Ben, whilst the video is playing?
Yeah, so this is a pretty big feature that they're focusing on, and I'm surprised there wasn't a blog post on it. But the idea is you'll be able to bring in viewers and other creators onto your stream. So it's sort of like a tool you can use on mobile or desktop. If you are watching a stream, you'll be able to pipe yourself into that stream and the streamer can add you via OBS or Twitch Studio. This has kind of been possible before, but it's always through external solutions. Even for like this podcast, I think like this might be a cool idea, right? This type of thing, where it's actually built into the platform. And so I think there's probably a lot of inspiration taken from TikTok and Instagram and YouTube that even have features like this already, where they're really going to focus on collaboration. So it makes a lot of sense they're doing this. It is interesting that it works both on mobile and desktop, and it supports, I think, up to four, a lot of people, actually. If you look in the thread, there's a lot of details, but it's really interesting, and they put a lot of focus into talking about this. So I think it's a pretty big focus for them. I imagine we'll get way more info on this at TwitchCon, by the way, for both of these things. I think like the official announcement will be at TwitchCon, but they put out these first initial bits just to kind of get ahead of that. So it's interesting, and I don't know if anybody has access to it yet, Pete. I think it's rolling out on an alpha later this summer is what they said, and then everybody else gets it later this year. So it's really early to announce this, but the idea is kind of cool if the execution is pretty smooth to bring in not only streamers, but even viewers just pop on and say stuff. Obviously, there's a lot of concerns about moderation and things like that too, when you can just bring in a random viewer, but like the option's there, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll go through the thread here tweet by tweet, because they have covered some of the main questions, I think. And we did talk about this as a sort of leaked feature, I think, in the last pod, but it's nice to see Twitch working on it so quickly that they feel like it's ready for, you know, alpha testing and a short announcement. The main objective here, really, is to make it easier to collaborate. And if you think from the celebrity point of view, which is someone that we know Twitch, like if Twitch gets the chance to work with a celebrity, they snatch at it with both hands, don't they? But the actual process of getting set up with a live stream or guesting on a live stream is pretty complicated for like somebody that's not tech savvy. And like you said, the solutions like the one that we use here to have multiple webcams, you know, if we have a third guest ever, then it's pretty easy for us to do. But having it built straight into the platform, and you can just sort of share a link with somebody and they can join via mobile or via desktop without having any software installed, that's a pretty big feature. And it wouldn't surprise me if Twitch are going to go down that route fully and have a browser-based streaming platform at some point, because they want to make it as easy as possible. So many people will give up on streaming because of how complicated it is. And it might sound easy to people now, you know, download OBS and add your sources. It's not that difficult, but that's still a lot of steps for somebody to discover. And Twitch wants to you know, streamline that as much as possible. So the first thing you mentioned was number of guests. It's one host and up to five guests, so six people in total that you can have. Don't know if that will ever expand. You know, there are popular streamer shows where they have like 12, 15, 20 people. So maybe there'll be demand for it to grow. But for now, one host, five guests, so up to six people. And they also shared some, you mentioned there about moderation and how you invite and, you know, arrange the situation with whichever streamer you're bringing on. It looks like they've built some tools for that as well. So how you invite your guest star, and you can actually communicate with them, and they sort of, I think, go into a green room type situation so they can check their camera and microphone before you bring them in. And then the last couple ones, oh no, the last one is exactly guest star when. So a handful of creators will have limited release alpha access, like you mentioned, later this summer. Full release to all phone verified creators later this year. So this is going to be released later this year, which is great to hear. Like you said, maybe it's going to be announced at TwitchCon EU or the TwitchCon in America as a full rollout, but certainly a useful tool, and hopefully it's going to promote a lot of collaboration on the platform. I hope that they're going to make it really easy to do more than just camera by camera next to each other. So like you could bring somebody on and still be playing a game and sort of arrange that in your OBS rather than it being, because it looks to me like it's not necessarily you that gets the full control as on the layout, and it's sort of arranged based on how many people you bring in.
Yeah, I think they're probably trying to make it really simple to use. So I haven't seen any examples of them doing gameplay with the cameras. It's literally just like a grid that changes around based on how many people you have. I think the idea is just to do really easy collaboration, like you said, Pete, and just bring people on and you're good to go. So probably just chatting for the most part, but maybe like a future version could do some game streaming too. I got to imagine they're just trying to appeal to the simple talk show type thing though, because that's exactly what you have on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok, right? It's just discussion. The game part isn't really a consideration there. So that's my thought, but I guess we'll see when it launches.
Yeah, we've got a couple of good comments from chat that I'll bring out. OMG Dean says, feels a lot like TikTok Live kind of deal. And yeah, I don't use a lot of TikTok myself, but Instagram Live, very, very similar. All of those platforms seem to have made it really, really easy to go live and bring collaboration via, you know, adding another username into the platform. We also have Venomous Ninetale saying, not needing to launch OBS to guest star until you start your own stream is actually hella convenient. And I think that basically sums it up, isn't it? They're trying to make it as convenient as possible for you to collaborate with other streamers. And it'll be interesting to see actually how they show which streamer is on, and if they make it really easy for you to for viewers to follow, you know, the streamers that you have on. You would think that that would be something that Twitch would work on so that it can help, you know, aid that collaboration by making it easy to follow all the people that are appearing on this person's stream at the same time.
Yeah, I'm personally really interested to see the viewer side, actually, because the streamers can find a way to do this currently, but I think for viewers, it's pretty difficult to be able to jump in quickly and do something like this for like a call-in show, or I can just imagine a lot of streamers just bringing in random viewers for this kind of thing. And again, there may be some moderation concerns, but the content would probably be pretty funny if someone who's been just watching can just hop on their phone in the Twitch app and jump in the stream. I mean, that's super convenient. So I think people will definitely test it out when it comes out. I did hear them say something about on the moderation side, if someone who comes on your stream says something or does something against TOS, that they're not supposedly not going to hold you accountable as long as you stop that viewer on the stream at that point. So again, I see like a whole can of worms of things that could go wrong here, but as long as Twitch is accounting for that and like has ways to stop it if something happens, then hopefully it works out. But I don't know, we'll see.
I can already see streamers setting up, you know, systems to abuse that. You know, you come on my live stream and you do that and it'll be really funny. I'll cut you off and get you off, but it'll be really great for my stream so I won't get in trouble. Who knows? They're going to have to, you know, make new rules on how they moderate and who they ban and how they deal with all of that. Because if there's a way to abuse it, people will find a way to abuse it. And that's part of the fun of building features for many, many users, which Twitch has to deal with. Right. I think we've covered all the platform updates. Ben, it's time to cover the big YouTubers. I say big YouTubers. They were big Twitch streamers until the last couple of days, or in one case, the last couple of hours. Now signing for YouTube. So they've left Twitch and they're exclusively signed to YouTube. Similar to how we've seen, who have we seen now? Ray, Tim the Tatman, Dr. Lupo, Ludwig. Who are the more recent ones?
Disguised Toast?
Disguised Toast.
On Twitch. I'm losing track because they always do the thing where they trick you, right? They go to Twitch, then YouTube. There's been so many who have jumped over. And we know there's more coming too, even not even including these from today. People are still saying more are coming, which is crazy.
Well, the two that we're going to talk about in this podcast, who are both, I could look up the stats right now on Sully Gnome, but I'm pretty sure they're both top 250 streamers, even if they were more relevant previously, they're still definitely holding a big audience. That is Lily Pichu first and Myth Today second. They both did the classic, you know, YouTube gives them a bit of budget to make a little video to put on their Twitter and their YouTube to talk about joining the new platform. These, I quite like Myth's one, if I'm being honest, but Lily's one, it just feels a bit stale, this whole, like, which door are you going through or which button are you going to press? Is it purple or is it red? Like, which car are you going to get in? Like, how many times can they do the colour thing? Like, it feels like maybe they need new script writers, but certainly gets a lot of engagement and it's interesting to talk about. So, yeah, that was Lily's, or part of Lily's video, Myth also, if I can play it without the music. He talks a bit more about like his life choices to becoming a streamer and how he's always backed his own decisions to stop streaming Fortnite and all these kind of things and then to join YouTube. But the real discussion point here, Ben, like the title and the thumbnail of this video suggest, is why are so many big streamers leaving Twitch for YouTube? It's we've talked in previous deals about how it can be because, you know, these people have families and they want to spend more time creating content, less time having to be live on Twitch. Is that still the case? Do you still think that's the big reason? Is it big dollar signs? Is it because they see YouTube as the winning platform over the next 20 years? I'm keen to hear your thoughts.
All about the bag, Pete. You got to get that money at the end of the day. That's what I mean, that's definitely a part of it, right? If you have, I don't know. We don't know the exact reasoning behind every streamer, right? Some streamers have talked a lot about it. Like, I think Ludwig did a couple videos about his whole thought process of going through it, which is pretty interesting, but I'm sure it's different for every creator. Some trends, I think, to your point, are it seems like streaming on YouTube is a much lower commitment in terms of hours for what you have to do for your contract. So that's definitely a big piece. If you have a family or want to be doing things besides streaming, then obviously less enforced hours to stream is a benefit there. It sounds like the money is pretty competitive. I mean, based on what Ludwig said, I think it was not that big of a difference, right? To the point where it was that obvious to go to YouTube or something. So I think it probably comes down to more beyond just the money and really is like the lifestyle. I don't know that anyone's switching over because YouTube's a better streamer experience in terms of the platform. I don't think I've seen anyone really say they love the YouTube UI better than Twitch and that whole experience. But I know some people do believe in the platform in general and think maybe long term it's going to win out. So I don't know. If I had to put one thing, I'd say it's probably the contract and just now it's becoming more easier to move because there's more people on YouTube, right? So with every new person that moves over, it's not as risky. You have a network on there. So yeah, I think it's just those two things put together. But I don't know. Pete, what's your take?
I mean, I agree a lot with what you've covered. My main question is, it was risky for the first few streamers, but now it feels like there's so many people on that platform, so many big streamers now on YouTube, that it's almost getting to the point now where new streamers might think, well, there's so many big streamers on YouTube now, maybe I should just start on YouTube. Whereas I don't think that was necessarily the case when the first few started to move over. A lot of people still thought maybe it's towards their end of their streaming career and that's why they're moving over to secure some money or, you know, spend more time with family and things like that. But Twitch was still the platform that most people wanted to create content on. I honestly do feel like it's right in the balance now with so many big streamers moving over to YouTube. And I still see the comments about maybe, you know, it's because their viewership is declining. I don't necessarily believe any of that. Ludwig is a prime example of somebody who was still growing on Twitch. If you take out of context his subathon, which obviously skews all the numbers, but he was definitely still like one of the biggest creators and becoming probably the biggest streamer on Twitch, decided to move to YouTube. And I think probably there's a lot of discussions that go on behind the scenes. They definitely feel more valued over on YouTube. Money is part of it, undoubtedly, and the better contracts that they seem to be getting offered. But at the end of the day, I think now we have a proper platform war on our hands, and it isn't just Twitch sweating about Mixer, you know, taking Ninja and Shroud. This is now, most big streamers will be having that conversation with YouTube, with Twitch, when it comes to their contract renewal. And, you know, Twitch can only write so many thanks for being on our platform, if you ever want to come back type tweets, because people are having success over on YouTube. That's the other thing. It's not like Mixer where viewership massively dropped. People are having success over on YouTube, and in some cases beating the viewership that they had on Twitch. So it's really interesting. I think there's a lot of nuances to it, and undoubtedly each stream is probably going to have different reasons. But we're seeing a big amount of that offline TV sort of crowd now moving over. And obviously they have a lot of weight within contracts. The biggest one for me that Twitch managed to keep is probably Pokimane. Like she basically holds such a viewership on Twitch, and a lot of news outlets and things like that will always cover what she's doing. So them being able to re-sign Pokimane was huge in my opinion. But yeah, Myth and Lily Peachy are certainly not small streamers. No doubt they're holding big viewership, and if they can pull that across to YouTube, at some point people are going to start to fire up the YouTube website to watch live streams rather than the Twitch website, and a lot of people probably already are.
Yeah, it's crazy with just so many people moving over, because I mean Mixer really just had those two, right? Shroud and Ninja, and then that was kind of their budget for moving, it seemed. But yeah, YouTube is not slowing down, and it sounds like there's even more coming after these two from the rumors that are going around. Not confirmed, but it seems likely that this trend will continue. I mean, eventually people are already doing this, but I mean, YouTube really kind of wins this once people start moving on without getting paid, right? And just choose to switch to YouTube because of the culture, or there's better viewership there, or it's a better experience, which if they keep going down this route, is pretty inevitable, because not only are they getting bigger and better streamers over from Twitch, but also new features, better, honestly, just the video experience is pretty much better across the board in terms of bitrate and things like that. So if they keep on this trend, it's looking pretty good for YouTube. I saw even in the chat people saying, you know, streaming on YouTube is kind of normal now. If you're a new streamer, you kind of ask, should I go on Twitch or YouTube? And, you know, a couple of years ago, that wouldn't have really been a question. It was pretty much just YouTube, maybe Mixer, Twitch. So now YouTube is a pretty big force, and a lot of streamers, maybe not in this kind of top tier range, are moving over and trying it out because they see some streamers having success there. So it's pretty big, and I don't think it's going to slow down anytime soon, really.
What's your opinion on how much viewership moves across with a streamer? Like, do you think when Lily Peachy does her first YouTube live stream, well, maybe not first, because first is an unfair example and might be a bit of an anomaly, but in a month's time when she's been streaming on YouTube for a month, what percentage of her audience do you think are people that did watch her on Twitch versus people that just watch her VODs on YouTube and now will watch her live streams on YouTube?
I think it depends. I mean, I feel like you're always going to have a slight dip at the start in the first month or two, right? Because people are still learning that you're there, and maybe a lot of them, even though you put out all these fancy announcements, they don't know you're actually on a new platform still, so they never see that notification. But over time, I think it does catch up. I think, you know, like Dr. Disrespect and even Ludwig now, these guys have caught up to where their Twitch viewership was on average, even if they had an initial kind of dip after that first hype stream. So yeah, I mean, the user base on YouTube, you can't argue with it, right? At some point, there's just way more people on YouTube watching the site than on Twitch. And long term, it does make sense to bet on that platform for that reason, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, when you mentioned that people are going to start moving across without big contracts, were we not the OGs of that? Ben, we didn't see big dollar signs. We just moved across because we wanted to, you know, utilize the Gaming Careers channel had built up some subscriber base. But yeah, I mean, I've been reading a lot of the chat here whilst we've been going through, and a lot of good points that people are making about why YouTube makes sense for these streamers and what kind of impact it's going to have on viewership. I'll try and read this name, but you know me and reading small names. Psycho Sinatra says that he thinks they would have about 60% of the original viewerships to begin with, and then she will grow much more than when she was on Twitch. And that's kind of what we've seen, hasn't it, with Tim the Tap Man and previous streamers, is that they've maybe started with a month that's a bit lower, and then eventually the subscriber base realizes that the streams are happening on YouTube and that they can catch them live at the same time every day. And as YouTube builds more and more features into discovering live streams from channels that you already subscribe to, like the little red ring when they're live, or, you know, the ability to clip and then clip from live streams and then actually be able to go to previous VODs and things like that, it's all pushing to being the biggest platform. And like you said, it's already got the user base. Twitch, in terms of how many people go on Twitch each day compared to YouTube, is minuscule. Like, YouTube is a completely global platform with, I think, like 2 billion users a month or something crazy. So it's as soon as they want to start pushing, we've said this for literally years now, as soon as they want to start pushing live streams, it will become the biggest platform. Right. And they're just slowly doing that, aren't they? They're slowly doing that, and we're seeing it become more and more prominent. And a lot of people watching this live stream have probably found it by watching a Gaming Careers video and seeing a red ring. So the features are clearly working. I feel like we've probably covered that in a lot of detail. I don't want to harp on for ages about two streamers joining YouTube because it's becoming more and more normal nowadays. But there are a couple of YouTube updates that we want to cover. Gifted memberships, Ben. Looks now like anyone who has channel memberships has the ability to gift memberships as well. Although the process for actually setting that up doesn't look like it's that simple. Do you want to walk through how people can gift memberships? And it's a reminder to me when I'm listening back to this podcast later, editing it, to set up memberships on the Gaming Careers YouTube channel, because people have messaged me before saying that they want to support the channel in some way, and this would be such an easy way, and we'd actually get to test the features, and I'd be able to show you the back end and all those kind of things. And it's just pure laziness as to why I haven't done it yet. So reminder to Pete.
Set definitely now. The expert over there, Pete. Yeah, practicing what you preach. No, so in terms of channel memberships, Lester, or at Shen, who's the stand-in for the head of gaming at YouTube, I believe, has announced that if you have channel memberships on your channel, you can now gift memberships to others. I think previously gifting memberships was a pretty manual process. You had to fill out a form, and then certain people had it that they could do that on their channels. So now that they're rolling out to more, which is cool. In terms of how to actually do it, I think YouTube put out like an official tweet on their side that kind of spells out what you actually need to do to enable it. It is a little complicated. That's one trend with YouTube that they definitely need to work on with some of these features. To do it, you have to turn on your channel memberships first for your channel if you have that enabled. Add names to your membership levels, and then set at least one pricing level at $5 or below, and have access to the memberships. So it's a little convoluted right now, as straightforward as Twitch for the most part. But at least the option is there. I have seen some streamers joking about they don't even know how their memberships work or how to gift stuff on their channels because it's just kind of tricky. But again, it's there if you know how to do it, which is cool. I imagine this is one thing that YouTube will get better at, is making things pretty easy for you. And that's kind of what we've said for a while now, Pete, is one of the biggest challenges for YouTube streaming is the UI and the whole experience being a little more unintuitive or just not quite the same as Twitch. But that's a lot easier to solve than viewership and user base, right? So I don't know, but it's cool to see this is rolling out.
Yeah, and part of that is because YouTube started as a VOD platform, and they don't want to completely reinvent what a live stream looks like on their platform, because they want to eventually merge these into just watching content on YouTube. They don't want it to feel like a completely different experience where it loads, you know, a dark UI and it looks exactly like Twitch or like Trovo has done. They want it to feel like you're still on YouTube, but you're watching a live stream. So they are a bit careful with how they've done it. I know people have been frustrated about the chat experience and various other different things, but they're moving in the right direction. I don't think anyone can deny that YouTube are releasing features for streamers. Pretty much every single podcast, we're covering something, aren't we, Ben? So they're definitely doing it. Let me just clear my voice. You cover.
No, you're right. I think between this and the streamer signings, right, like they're in the right direction. They're clearly putting their foot on the gas a little bit. It's nice that we have some Twitch updates this week, honestly, because I feel like a lot of time when we talk about Twitch, it's due to something going wrong or some issue. So it's nice they're working on new features on Twitch's side, but really the whole the guest star thing on Twitch, YouTube kind of already has that, right? We talked about that. So these platforms are kind of catching up with each other on a lot of features, and I don't see it going away as long as a good feature exists that one platform can steal from another.
Maybe it's because we didn't do the podcast, but I feel like the past year, they really have been pushing new features, like both Twitch and YouTube and Facebook to some extent as well. Like I don't really ever remember it being like such a constant rollout. I think we mentioned previously, usually they wait to TwitchCon and they do like 10. When I went to the US TwitchCon 2 years in a row, I made videos about the 10 new features that they'd announced basically. But now it seems like there's much more appetite for people just wanting to know every week what's being worked on. And that's why they have that patch notes live stream. Yeah. That'll probably do it for... Oh, go on, Ben. Yeah,
I was going to say, I think it's YouTube's fault, right? With YouTube doing so much lately, with every couple of new weeks, there's a new feature coming to YouTube and new members, and there's so much pressure. So Twitch kind of can't sit around anymore. If they keep doing that, then eventually YouTube's going to catch up. So they're going to have to keep pushing like that, I think, which is good for all of us streamers, right? More features for both platforms at the end of the day.
Precisely. It's good for us, the audience, and for the streamers, I think. Last thing to cover just on today's podcast, just like we normally do, new Gaming Careers video for anyone that hasn't watched it yet. You need to update your Stream Decks because there is a whole lot of new features in the latest Stream Deck update, directly integrated with OBS. I should make the point. There are some new features on the rest of the Stream Deck software, but the video that I made basically just covers, I think it's 10 new integrations, 9 or 10 new integrations that you now have with OBS through your Stream Deck. And it's well worth updating. The video is pretty short. It's only 4 minutes, well, 421. I was so close to the elusive 420 timeline there. But it just covers basically what all the new features are that you can control in OBS Studio from the Stream Deck due to the update. So give it a watch if you haven't already, and definitely update your Stream Decks if you own one, or if you use Stream Deck Mobile or something like that, you still have all of these controls. And now finally we have way more control as to the things that we can do in OBS through our Stream Deck. Ben, have you updated your Stream Deck, used it for your streams?
I have. Yeah, for some reason, my Stream Deck, I have to click it 3 times for everything. So that's a whole nother issue. But
wow.
The video was really cool. I think especially the one where you can change your transition, that's huge, because I got to get up to, you know, the Dr. Disrespect levels of 17 transitions during my stream and have all the different CGI. So now I have no excuse with this update, right?
That's interesting that you think that's the most useful. I would have put that down at the bottom.
I don't know. It's tough to change it on the fly. That's how I feel.
For me, the filter one, I think that's going to be the biggest one. Like, people are going to do some really cool things with being able to enable and disable filters, both audio filters and visual filters. You know, when you can change the colors of your camera, and, you know, if you add that into a multi-action where it's changing, putting 5 different filters on, you can make some cool dance rave type things that I'm sure will get old pretty quick. But I'm still excited to see what people end up doing. And I thought they could, like, being able to turn on and off audio filters and be able to basically do a test recording with 5 different compressors, seeing how you sound by enabling and disabling each one, and then listening back to that recording and being like, oh, I like the 3rd compressor the best. It's always been quite hard to test how you sound in OBS if you're using their audio filters. So that's a cool little integration where you can now hop swap different filters. I'll leave that link down in the bottom, but obviously you can find that on the Gaming Careers YouTube channel as well. And I think that probably does it for this week, Ben. A nice little show. I think lots to talk about, which has always been handy. The Myth tweet came out maybe 2 hours before the podcast. It wasn't going to be our big topic, but then once we had both Lily Pichu and Myth to talk about, I feel like it found its way to the top. And thankfully I hadn't started making the thumbnail, so it wasn't like I scrapped 2 hours of work just to play something else. But thanks everybody for watching, joining the chat. We've had loads of people in chat. It's always so nice for it to be super active. I do wish that we could get to it more. Maybe we need a third helper on this podcast, just pulling out good questions from chat so that we can use our overlay more. But it's always really nice to see people asking, answering questions in the YouTube live stream chat. And to all the people that listen through traditional podcast means, give us a rating on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. It helps more than you know, and only takes you guys a couple of clicks to do it. And anyone watching the YouTube VOD after the fact, give it a thumbs up, because we deserve it for putting this show together. And it's one button click, and it's completely free to do so. Ben, I'm rambling. End the show for me, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, I just want to say, because I know some of you were asking about the live streams for these. If you are an audio listener, we do them on Mondays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. your time, UK time for Pete's side of the world. So if you want to come out, you definitely can on Mondays. I think we'll probably be here next week, Monday, Pete, if all goes well.
Yeah, next week should be fine. I might have melted into liquid by that point based on the temperature readings for the week ahead in the UK. But yeah, next week we'll be back live. And also on the Gaming Careers website, if you go to gamingcareers.com/podcast, there's always a countdown to the next live podcast. And I always try and remember to update that if we need to cancel a show or something like that. So you can always see exactly when it's going to be in your time zone, if you don't live in the UK or on the east side of America. But yeah, we'll catch you guys in the next podcast. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Peace.
See ya.